Good morning and welcome to Rabbi Sacks' Sunday morning shiur. This morning shiur is being sponsored by Beth and Mark Rosenbaum in memory of their grandfather, Teddy Rosenbaum, Yisrael Meir ben Avraham, B'chav Gadol Rav Sacks.
We left off discussing the Machlokes Tanoim, Machlokes Samaroim regarding Mitzvos Trichos Kavana, or Mitzvos Ein Trichos Kavana, the Sugi and Sachim Kuf Yedaleh, the Sugi and Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Chav Ches. We pointed out the following Chiddush of Tosus, where Tosus comments in Brachos that this Machlokes is regarding a person who performs a Mitzvah and lacks the necessary Kavana. That if a person should have inappropriate Kavana, specifically having in mind not to be Yotzei, or either having in mind to do A when in fact you should be doing B, in such an instance, then Tosus writes, one is certainly not Yotzei. Tosus' proof, the Sugyan Brachos and Dath Yabezim and Aleph, comes from a case of a Bracha, where a person begins a Bracha assuming that he is going to be reciting, for example, a Borei Pri Hagafen, and all of a sudden he realizes in midstream that that is an error, that he is holding a cup of Shechar, and the Bracha is a Shehakol. Tosus understands the Gemara to tell us that a person catches himself in the middle and he corrects the bracha. If you heard that individual, you would think that he was making an appropriate bracha. But that person knows that when he began the bracha and he mentioned the Shem Hashem, he was going to recite the bracha Borei Pri Hagafen. The Gemara raises the issue whether we assume that Basar Psicha Zlinan or Basar Chasima Zlinan. What is the Iker HaBracha? The Haskara Shem Shamayim or the conclusion of the bracha itself? And the Gemara leaves this as Something. So Tosus asks, what exactly is the issue? Ideally, I understand that one should have the appropriate intent and the appropriate mindset, but minimally, b'di'evit, certainly he should be yotzei. So that is where Tosus comments. Mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana would mean if a person made a bracha and his mind was somewhat blank. However, inappropriate kavana, having in mind to recite bracha A, Borei Pri Hagafen, when the appropriate bracha would have been a bircha shahakol, in such a case, certainly one is not yotzei. And this is what Tosus assumes in Sachem Adav Zayin and Sukkah Adav Lamed Ches, when it comes to the cases of Dalet Minim as well. In order to solve the difficulty of how one at the same time can hold the Dalet Minim, because when a person recites a bracha, the object should always be in your hand, whether it's a bircha samitzvah, whether it's a bircha sanenin. But the difficulty regarding Lulav and Esrog is once you pick it up, nidagve, nafigve. So how is it possible that the bracha is over lasiyasan, and at the same time, you are holding the Dalet Minim at the time? So one of you in Tosus says, you know, is Havcha, that if you hold it inappropriately, you hold it upside down, you're holding it, but yet you are not Yotzei. And hence the minute based on Tosus that when a person recites the bracha, he will hold the Dalet Minim upside down, and then invert them after the bracha. And lo and behold, the bracha is over lasiyasan. The other possibility Tosus mentions is simply Kavana. Have in mind that you are not going to be Yotzei until after the bracha. Because even if you assume it's a Saint Srichas Kavana, you are not Yotzei if a person will expressly have in mind that he is not Yotzei. This is not necessarily the view of all Rishonim. The Ra'a explicitly maintains that if you assume it's a Saint Srichas Kavana, the act is the determining factor, and therefore Kavana is irrelevant, b'di'evit. Even if a person will have in mind not to be Yotzei, nonetheless, you will be Yotzei assuming Mitzvah Saint Srichas Kavana. And this is in fact what the Ritzva raises in the Sukim Sachem Adav Zayin, where the Ritzva questions this possibility of Tosus, because how do you know that there's a difference between lack of Kavana as opposed to inappropriate Kavana? And therefore, the Machlokas Rishonim, whether one would be Yotzei b'di'evit if a person had Kavana not to be Yotzei. We pointed out the Chiddush of Rabbi Chanan in the Kobet Shiurim, Chelek Beis, Siman Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Chanan points out that there is a marked difference between lack of Kavana, if you assume it's Vostrichos Kavana, as opposed to Kavana L'davar Acher, Kavana expressly not to be Yotzei if you hold Mitzvos Ein Srichos Kavana. But that is a fundamental Machlokas Rishonim. So what is the basis of that Machlokas? So we started to discuss the explanation of Rav Yosef Engel is found in Esra and Araisa in Klal Chav Gimel, where Rav Yosef Engel refers you to a sugi in Zvachim and Dav Beis. A Kohen is doing Avoda. And when a Kohen engages in Avoda, certainly it's necessary to have an appropriate machshava. And what if a Kohen lacks that particular machshava? Do we assume that the carbon becomes possible? The Gemara invokes the following principle of stama lishma. Stama lishma means that at times, even if there is no express kavana, but implicitly, isn't there some measure of kavana? The Kohen is in the Azara, he's engaging in Avoda, he is performing the Avoda necessary for this particular karban, even if somehow he doesn't have an express mindset of l'shem karban, l'shem bailim, and the like, nonetheless we can invoke the principle of stam lishma. Maybe that's true when it comes to mitzvos srichos kavana. Maybe in principle everyone agrees that kavana certainly is essential. However, even if a person didn't have overt express kavana, can't we argue that at times the circumstance themselves lend itself to kavana? We're talking about a case, for example, where a person, right, is in shul, holding the dalet minim. Obviously his intent is to do so l'shem mitzvah, even if somehow that slips his mind at the time of the performance. So perhaps one could question, mitzvos ein srichos kavana, is that really because kavana plays no role, or is it because that perhaps kavana is implied, it's implicit in maisa mitzvah? What would the difference be? Perhaps this particular case, this machlokis dera'ah, against the view of Tosus, and that is kavana, the davar acher. When can you assume stam lishma, if a person's mind was blank? One could argue implicit in the maisa mitzvah's kavana. But let's assume, for example, a person expressly has in mind that he does not want to be yotze. Then he would argue, stam lishma, presumably because he is engaged in this act, so obviously kavana is implied. The person will tell you, I specifically do not want to be yotze. A person, for example, is beginning his davening in the morning, and he's reciting the pasuk of Kriya Shema before Baruch Shamar. And he will tell you he does not want to be yotze Kriya Shema right now, because he wants to be yotze Kriya Shema by reciting all three parshiyos together with the Birchos Kriya Shema. So they argue that no, that stam lishma, the fact that you have done so is an indicator that you want to be yotze. Perhaps one could argue that's true if one's mind is blank, but not if a person has inappropriate kavana, kavana l'davracha, or kavana expressly shelo lotzeis. But if one should assume that mitzvah sein srichos kavana means that kavana plays no role b'di'eved, all you look at is the act, the maisa mitzvah itself, so if that is the case, one could argue that your yotze, regardless of whether you lack kavana or whether you have inappropriate kavana. So that's one possibility in understanding this machlokis. This possibility that the machlokis is whether we invoke the principle of stam lishma or whether we do not, could have other ramifications as well. When the Rambam discusses as an example the case of mitzvos ein srichos kavana, the Rambam writes a case of kafuhu v'ocha matzah, ochos chamitza matzah, perek vav, halacha gimel. The Rambam writes a case where a person is eating matzah, it is the lel seder, but why is he doing so? Because someone is forcing him to go ahead and to do so. For whatever reason, maybe the person is not interested in fulfilling the mitzvah, but I coerce the person to go ahead and do so. Kafu v'ocha matzah. Magid Mishnah has the following diuk. Why does the Rambam tell you such a case of kafu v'ocha matzah yatzah? Isn't there a more simple case? Let's say, for example, it just happens to be that a person eats matzah, and it happens to be Pesach, it happens to be the lo seder, and therefore, if you hold mitzvah sein srichos kavana, you are yotze. Why does the Rambam indicate a case of kafuhu v'ocha matzah? Magid Mishnah suggests the following possibility, and that is a diuk in the Rambam, and perhaps a similar diuk in the Gemara as well, that there's a certain minimal level of kavana that absolutely is vital. You have to know that what you're eating is matzah, and you must be aware that tonight is Pesach, but you know what? You didn't put the two and two together. That's mitzvos ein srichos kavana. But if you had no clue as to what you were eating as matzah, you had thought that you were eating chametz, and lo and behold, it turns out it happened to be matzah, you happened to eat matzah, but you didn't even realize that this is the Seder night, and it so happens that you did so, then the Magid Mishnah writes, you certainly are not yotzei, that there is a minimal level of realization, of awareness that is necessary, regardless of whether you assume mitzvot srichos or mitzvot ein srichos kavana. Not all Rishonim agree with this point. Rabbi Yeruchim disagrees and maintains that if you hold mitzvot ein srichos kavana, if just you happen to look out by eating matzah on Pesach, you are yotzei, even if you didn't realize, in fact, what you were doing. So a further machlokus as to whether mitzvot ein srichos kavana at least requires kavana samaisa, the person has to realize what, in fact, he is doing. Maybe he doesn't have kavana latseis, but kavana samaisa, certainly, that is considered to be critical. Perhaps one could argue that to an extent this machlokas could hinge on our issue as well. Perhaps one could argue that if indeed one assumes that mitzvah Saint Tzrichos kavana means kavana is irrelevant, in such a case, maybe one could argue that is true consistently, categorically, and therefore, if you ate matzah, below seder yor yotzei. If you assume that no, mitzvah Saint Tzrichos kavana is a function of stamalishma, an implication, maybe one could very reasonably argue that when can you argue that kavana is implied, at least if the person is aware that what he's doing is a maisa mitzvah. I am in shul, I am being no-till dalet minim, even if somehow I'm distracted at that critical moment, but isn't it clear that you'll ask me, what are you holding? My answer is dalet minim. You'll ask me, is it sukkahs? I will tell you yes. In such a case, then you can argue stamali shma. Can you argue stamali shma where there is an absolute lack of awareness? So perhaps one could suggest that that machlokas as well depends on the two understandings of mitzvah Saint Tzrichos kavana. If, however, you assume that that is true, you'll run into the following difficulty, and that is an apparent stira within the ra'ah. Because the ra'ah maintains, as mentioned, that even if you have in mind not to be yotzei, you are still yotzei. But the Ra'ah does argue that you have to know at least that what you are eating is matzah, and you have to know that what you are eating you are doing on the night of the Seder. So in such a case, the Ra'ah seems no contradiction to assume minimal awareness, as opposed to the case of Kavana Shlo Lotzeis, where the Ra'ah writes you in fact with the yotzei. Apparently the Ra'ah understood very differently. If a person doesn't even have kavana samaisa, he doesn't even realize what he is doing, in such an instance, that is called misasek. And in such a case, that is not even called a maisa hamitzvah. When a person has kavana not to be yotzei, almost ironically, that mindset, I do not want to be yotzei, is an indicator that a person is fully aware of exactly what he is doing. He realizes that this is a maisa mitzvah. And that's why he expressly is having a manat to be yotzei, because for whatever reason, he wants to be yotzei later, not be yotzei now, and so on. The Ra'am maintains that there's kavanas hamaisa, then one is yotzei. Lacking kavanas hamaisa in such a case, that is called an act of misasek. Perhaps even a further distinction within this lamdas of stam lishma. Is it possible to distinguish between various mitzvos? To argue that mitzvos srichos, mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, maybe it depends. Maybe it depends on the nature of the mitzvah in the following sense. In the past year, we've discussed the view of the Rambam, Perek Beis, Hilchos Shofar. The Rambam tells us that the mitzvah of Shofar requires kavana. Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, Chomos Chomos Matzah. The Rambam writes that matzah does not require kavana. That's the stira of Magid Mishnah, even in the Tshuvas of Rav Avram ben Oshel Rambam. Here he points out the stir in the Rambam that shofar yes and matzah no. There are many different possibilities as to understanding this view of the Rambam. But one possibility that Rav Rambam Oshel Rambam writes, that the Magid Mishnah writes, is the following. Is there a maisa ha-mitzvah or is there not? When it comes to matzah, there is a maisa ha-mitzvah. One could argue implied, implicit in that maisa ha-mitzvah is kavana. When it comes to shofar, we've discussed in many occasions that the Rambam's view is the mitzvah of shofar is not one of tekiyah shofar, the one is shmiyah sakol. And there the Magid Mishnah writes that shmiyah is not a concrete maisa mitzvah. So therefore, if there's no kavana, a person, let's say, just happens to be walking down the street, and the windows are open in the shul, and he hears the shofar, and there's no kavana, so therefore, what do you argue? Implicit in hearing is kavana. That's the chiddush that the Magid Mishnah writes. The only time you can argue that kavana is implied is that there is a concrete maisa mitzvah. Otherwise, in fact, that would not be the case. I mean, he even goes a step further. That kasha tosus. He raised brachos al yabez, that when it comes to a bracha, why does the Gemara raise the issue? Do you follow the beginning of the bracha? Do you follow the end of the bracha? If mitzvah Saint Tzrichos kavana, what difference does it make? Tosus's answer was inappropriate kavana. Rabbi Yonah's answer is dibur requires kavana. If there's a concrete act, I understand. One could argue that implicit in maisa mitzvah is kavana. But dibur without kavana, Rabbi Yonah writes an interesting chiddush that when it comes to mitzvos hatzlios badibur, everyone agrees that kavana is considered to be critical. An interesting possibility. this doesn't seem so simple, right, in light of the Mishnah in the very beginning of the second parak of Brachos. The Mishnah tells us, Hayah kare b'torah, v'higia zman ha-mikra, im kivin libo yatsa. A person is kare b'torah. And it so happens, he's reading the parsha of Kriyashma. And it happens to be the zman Kriyashma. So, the Mishnah says, im kivin libo yatsa. As long as you have proper kavanah, you'll say. So the Gemara says, in Kibli B'yatza, so Shema Minah Mitzvos, Srichos Kavanah, so you have a Mishnah Mufreshes that says, Kavanah is necessary. The Gemara says that no, Kari Lahagia. We're talking about an unusual case. Rashi explains, who reads out of the Sefer Torah? We're talking about a Sofer. So when he reads out of the Sefer Torah, he will not read the words correctly. Now, if he is reading, he wants to be very medayik on what is Malay, what is Choser. He will read the word Tasfas, even though it's pronounced Totafos. So in such a case, it means if you want to be Yotze, you have to pay special attention because you have to read the words properly. According to this view, however, of Rabbi Yonah, couldn't the Gemara have given a very basic answer that Kriya Shema is a mitzvah which is dependent on Dibur? And Rabbi Yonah says that everybody agrees that mitzvah satzliyas to Dibur require Kavanah. The Gemara should not have said, we're talking about a case of a Sofer. The Gemara should have said, you're right, that Kriya Shema absolutely requires Kavanah, but that is not necessarily so revealing as to other mitzvahs. Maybe one could argue that matzah, no, but Kriya Shema, yes. Because Kriya Shema is a mitzvah that's dependent upon Dibur. That's Rabbi Yonah when it comes to a case of bracha. But this is the view of Rabbi Yonah, that there are differences in terms of mitzvahs and a similar distinction when it comes to the view of the Rambam. Perhaps one could understand that that is driven by that concept of stama lishma, because after all, if you assume kavanah is irrelevant, maybe one would argue that that should be true when it comes to mitzvahs generally. But if you're arguing kavanah is implied, it's supplied through the performance of the mitzvah, then perhaps one could argue it depends. When there is an overt maisa mitzvah, then maybe one could argue that's an appropriate implication. However, when it comes to other instances, maybe that would not be the case. This is a fascinating possibility, that mitzvahs ein srichos kavanah is driven by stama lishma. A further point, when you look in the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara in Chulin discusses a couple of cases, Machlokas Rab and Rabbi Yochanan, Shechita, for example, or Tvila. And there, Rab is of the opinion that the Shechita is a Shechita Kshera, even without Kavana, or the Tvila, the Mikveh, is a Tvila Kshera, even without Kavana as well. So the Ramban is bothered by the following, shouldn't this hinge on the machlokes tanoim, machlokes amoraim, whether mitzvos, tzrichos, and mitzvos, ain't tzrichos kavana, and the Gemara does not do so. In discussing this issue, the Gemara does not write that this is the old machlokes of mitzvos, tzrichos, mitzvos, ain't tzrichos kavana. So the Ramban makes the following comment that apparently you see, what is true of mitzvos generally is not necessarily true of shechita and tzvila. Why is that the case? Because the Ramban writes that the essence of Shechita and Tvila is lahakshir, lahatir, to be matir the hema ba'achila, to be matir the individual who is tovel, isha labala, or a person regarding areas of tuma and tara. In such a case, if you're referring to that mitzvah, so to speak, Shechita, Tvila, whose purpose it is to ready, lahakshir, lahatir, in such an instance that would be true even if one should maintain mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. The Rambam writes in Parabeis of a shita, a person do a maisa shita, right, his kavana is not going to be relevant in the sense that if he doesn't have in mind to be yotze, but nonetheless the shita certainly is considered to be a shita shera. So two categories of mitzvos that the Ramban stresses in Chulin and Daf Lamed Aleph. I want to go a step further and argue as follows. What about Bris Milah? A third example. Does Bris Milah require Kavanah? Or does Bris Milah not require Kavanah? Well, if you look at the Sugyan of Avodah Zarah and of Chav Zayin, it's clear that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that a Milah is a Milah Kshera even without Kavanah. The Gemara discusses whether a Kusi can perform Bris Milah. And Rabbi Yossi says, of course, Heichan Matsinu Milah Lishma. A kusi can perform bris milah. Milah doesn't require lishma, and therefore the milah is considered to be a milah kshera. But I'll ask you the following difficulty. This is a kasha found in the Maloha Ra'oim. What is Rabbi Yossi's sheet regarding mitzvos tzrichos and mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana? Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, Pesachim Kufi Daled, that mitzvos Strichos Kavana. So on the one hand, Rabbi Yossi maintains Mitzvah Strichos Kavana. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi maintains Brismila does not require Kavana. How do you resolve that apparent discrepancy? The Malon HaRoim writes that you have to assume that there's some pasuk regarding Brismila that indicates that even without Kavana, one is Yossi. Perhaps one could suggest the following Kiddush, and that is that just as the Ramban writes, when it comes to certain categories of mitzvah, everyone would agree that b'dieved, mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana, like shchita, or like tvila, so I would add a third case to the list, and that is bris milah as well. Why should that be? What is unique about these mitzvahs that one could argue that they are somewhat distinct? So perhaps this is part of a broader discussion that we once discussed at length, the Beis HaLevi, regarding the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. The Beis HaLevi points out the following, that the mitzvah Satorah can be broken down into two different categories. Very simply, this can be expressed in very different ways, but very simply as follows. Sometimes the interest of the Torah is Maisa HaMitzvah, the requisite act. And other times, right, the Torah is more concerned with the chalos, the tosa, the polyotze, the result. And one could certainly understand that mitzvos are broken down into these issues. The Beis HaLevi's starting point, it's not so clear what the kasha of the Beis HaLevi is. The teretz in the Chiddush is a beautiful one. The kasha, the way it's formulated in the Beis HaLevi is somewhat difficult. The kasha, the way we have printed the Beis HaLevi, is the following. That why is it that the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach, and you're obligated to eat of Korban Pesach, also of Basar Bala Hazeh, and yet the Rambam does not count the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. That's the way the Tash is presented in the Beis HaLevi. What's difficult with that formulation is that the Rambam does count the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam writes that certainly is a mitzvah. Achlos HaMashar Kupra Behem, Konim Olim, Banim Iskaprim, there certainly is a mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. The Rambam certainly has a mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. Maybe what the Beis HaLevi means is, if the Rambam has a mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim, why is it necessary to have an additional mitzvah of Achilas Pesach? Pesach is Kodshim. If that's the kasha, that kasha is not such a difficult one to answer. You don't need intense lambdas to answer that question. If the Rambam already counts a mitzvah Achilas Kodshim, why is it necessary to mitzvah Achilas Pesach? The answer then should be obvious. When it comes to Achilas Kodshim, there's no mitzvah that I have to eat the kodshim. A person offers the karma. What does it mean that the mitzvah achilas kodshim? Someone has to eat the kodshim. Someone has to do so. No? Not the bala karban, right? Not that particular kohen. Someone has to do so. When it comes to mitzvah achilas pesach, that is the only karban where the Torah insists that you must partake. You have to eat. If I bring any other karban, my karban shlamim, anyone can eat. But Korban Pesach, I must eat. Well, obviously, Korban Pesach is a separate mitzvah achila above and beyond achilas kodshim. It is interesting, the Ramban does not count the mitzvah achilas kodshim, and the Ramban does count the mitzvah of achilas Pesach. Perhaps that the kasha can be raised according to the view of the Ramban. But in any case, depending on what the question is, the Beis HaLevi writes the following answer, and that is this. The answer is very, very clear that there is a marked difference, as I alluded to, between Achilas Kodshim as opposed to Achilas Pesach. What is the halacha of Achilas Pesach? That's the Chumas HaGavra. I must eat a kazayis. I certainly must go ahead and do so. That's not true when it comes to Achilas Kodshim generally. Achilas Kodshim is halacha in Chefza. The mitzvah is Shehakodshim Ye'achlu, that the Kodshim be eaten. It is not necessarily the case that any individual must eat the particular karban. And therefore there's a marked difference. The mitzvah Achilas Pesach is a mitzvah Hagavra. The mitzvah Achilas Kodshim is halacha in Chefza. In fact, Shabbos is Daf Yomi, the last Daf Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara describes how they used to divide the lechem hapanim. They used to divide the shtei halechem. Who used to get the shtei halechem? Who used to get the lechem hapanim? The shtei halechem was divided among all the kohanim. The lechem apanim of Yontif was divided among all the Kohanim. Imagine, if you're dividing the Shtei HaLechem among all the Kohanim, how much of the Shtei HaLechem would each individual Kohen get? He would get a tiny amount. How is that possible? The Gemara writes in Sachin Dav Gimel that one of the Kohanim complained, Higiani Kapul, I got such a tiny amount. Well, of course a tiny amount. You're dividing it among such large, vast numbers of Kohanim. How is that possible? The Tosis Yishonim asks, Siman Dav Flamites, Ein Achila Pchusa Mekazayis. So how is that possible? So various fascinating terutzim, but perhaps this teretz is, you don't require kazayis. If you're dealing with a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah sagavra, in such a case, then kazayis is necessary. If I must eat matzah, I must eat a kazayis. However, if the halacha is in chetza, that the carbon must be consumed, in such a case, is there necessary a halacha that any individual person must eat the kazayis? As long as the halacha is that the kudshim are eaten, that is considered to be sufficient, even if higyani kapul. The bottom line is, the shtei halechem, the lechem apanim are eaten, and therefore that is considered to be sufficient. There is one line in the Chassam Sofer, which I think is a very difficult line, the Chassam Sofer writes, because after all, the mitzvah of achilas kudshim is simply shelo yavo lidei noser. If it's lo yavo lidei noser, as long as it's consumed, it will not become noser. That line, I think, is a very difficult one, because it's hard to imagine that the mitzvah of achilas kudshim is only that it should not become noser. That's not such a simple chiddush at all. Malamech she'akolim ochlin barlim miskaprim, that's only shlovi dinosar. When the Rambam defines the mitzvah achilas kudshim, the Rambam writes the mitzvah extends even to achilas truma. Achilas truma, there's no halacha of noser. But there still is a mitzvah of achilas truma. The Rambam writes that's part of achilas kudshim. One could certainly argue with halach in chetza without arguing that the concern of the Torah is simply that it does not become noser. So that's a fascinating distinction. When we discussed, this goes back a couple of years, the mitzvah of kiddush, we pointed out in Simin Reish Ayin Aleph, you have 3 days in Shofar Aruch. Who has to drink the wine of kiddush? So we are machmer, l'chadchila ha-mevaretzach shi'itam, the one who makes kiddush should drink the shir. The second day in Shulchan Aruch is, it doesn't have to be the makadesh, but any individual can drink a shir who is being yotzei. And the third day, the day of the mitzvah, is, you know what, if you'll pass the kosher around and everyone takes a sip, and that's it, the shir was consumed, that is considered to be sufficient. Even if no one drinks the shir, what is the lamdus of the mitzvah that the halacha of shti of kiddush is lochin shtias hakos. The ritual wouldn't say this about the halakosos. The ritual wouldn't say this about achilas matzah. Everyone takes a bite and you eat the matzah, that's sufficient. When it comes to a chobas hagavra, kazayis is necessary. If you can demonstrate a lochin chetza, like achilas kudshim, in such a case, then one could argue that even if you don't have a shear, that is considered to be sufficient. This is what the Beis Halevi writes in two places, the Chelek Aleph Siman Beis, in Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Aleph, the Beis Halevi writes, it's Kiddush, but see mitzvot dependent on Gavra, mitzvot better halacha in Chetza. So one Afkin Beis Halevi has is Shir. Shiurim are only necessary Latsa Yidei Chavasa. Then there's a second Afkin the Beis Halevi writes, which is a much greater Kiddush, and that I think is a much more difficult Kiddush. What happens if you eat it Shalo Kederach Achilasa? Achila means a certain amount, but achila also means a certain quality of achila. You have to eat something in a certain way. If a person will go ahead and eat something which is raw, for example, we assume that that is not called achila, which is derech achilasa. Maybe one could argue the following interesting chiddush, and that is, if it's a mitzvah hagavra, I must eat, well, you need kazayis, you need derech achila. If it's halacha in chetza, then maybe you don't even require derech achila. That's the chiddush of the Beis Halevi writes, and he brings a very interesting raya, the sugya min atos, and the farites, and the kufa min aleph. The Gemara says the following. When you had a case that Yom Kippur would fall out on Friday, you'd be faced with the following difficulty. Based on our calendar, you know it cannot happen. Yom Kippur will never be on Friday or on Sunday. But when you're makadi shafi hara'iyah, then Yom Kippur can fall out some of the Shabbos. Interestingly, the Rambam writes in Parcheshev Hilchos Erevin, that's the real source of Kedusha Achas. Those doing Daf Yomi, learning Masechos Beitza now, the Gemara will describe, and Daf Dalet, Daf Hei, Daf Yizayin, Kedusha Achas, Shtei Kedushas. Right? What is the source of Kedusha Achas? What is Kedusha Achas? 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? The first day of Rosh Hashanah is Daraisa. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is only Drabanan. That's not real Kedusha Achas. Where do you have real Kedusha Achas? The Rambam writes, when Shabbos and Yom Kippur are back to back. Those are two Kedushos Daraisa, which is the real model of Kedusha Achas. It's an interesting Kiddush. The Rambam writes, we can't have this, obviously, Bizman Hazeh, but in earlier times they certainly could do so. When Yom Kippur would fall out, then on Friday, you'd have the following difficulty. You would have certain karbanos on Yom Kippur, musafim, for example, that required achila. Well, obviously, you can't eat them on Yom Kippur, and normally, no problem. The kohanim would eat it on Motzai Yom Kippur. But Motzai Yom Kippur, how do you prepare the karban? You can prepare a karban whose avoda is on this given day, but will yesterday's karban of Yom Kippur be allowed to be prepared on Shabbos, which is the next day, Motzei Yom Kippur? Certainly not. That is not the Ochel Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us the following, that HaBavlayim Hayo Ochlen Oson Chai. The Bavlayim used to eat the carbon of Yom Kippur raw on Motzei Yom Kippur, on Shabbos. They couldn't cook the carbon. They used to go ahead and eat it raw. That's what the Mishnah tells us. But Eish HaLevi writes that Achila, right, which is Chai, is Sloka Derech Achilaso. How does that help? So that's the Beis HaLevi's raya, that for the mitzvah of achilas kodshim, you don't even require derech achila. This is a great chiddush in the following sense. See, I understand, if you were to ask me kazayis, I would argue that kazayis, shiurim, are details within yitzia sidei chova. You're only yotzi if you eat a certain amount. And if there's no chiyu, it's loch and ches, so then you don't require kazayis. The fact that achila has to be kederech achila, that's a halacha, let's say, sidei chavaso. Or maybe that's much more basic halacha, that achila shlo kederach achila, even the chetz is not considered to be called achila at all. And what do you do with the raya of the Beis HaLevi, Bavloim, Ha'okano Salchai? So if you take a look at the Tosus of Menachos and Daf Nun, the Beis HaLevi doesn't quote the Tosus. The Tosus in that sugya, Tosus just flips in one line. Tosus says the Bavloim used to eat this chai. You know why? Tosus adds the words, shlo, yavo, libe, no, sir. That's what Tosus says. How we even dice the exact opposite of the Beis HaLevi. Tosus tells us explicitly, there's no mitzvah of achilas kodshim. If there's a mitzvah of achilas kodshim, what's the kasha? How is it Bavim Ingrid Chai? What did they accomplish? If there's a mitzvah of achilas kodshim. Boshim Shat and Tosus says, no, even achilas kodshim requires derech achila. So what was gained by eating at Shlo Kederach Achila if you're not fulfilling Mitzvah Achilas Kodshim? That's why Tosus writes, Shlo Yev Lidenosa. I don't think the Tosus is a right to the Chassam Sofer that writes Achilas Kodshim is for the purpose of Shlo Yev Lidenosa. That's a very difficult Kiddush. It means despite the fact that one is not fulfilling the Mitzvah Achilas Kodshim nonetheless. How is this relevant for us? It's a beautiful Kiddush, but how does it fit with us? The Beis HaLevi's next point, and that is, another nafkamina of mitzvot srichos and mitzvot en srichos kavana. If it's a mitzvot hagavra, then mitzvot srichos kavana. However, if the halachi is halachi in chepza, for example, the Torah insists that the kodshim should be eaten, in such a case, if it's halacha in chepza, then we assume that mitzvot en srichos kavana. That's the piece of the Beis HaLevi. And perhaps the explanation is the following. When we mention that the mitzvahs of Torah break up into different categories, maisa as opposed to chalos, maisa as opposed to totzah, one could very reasonably argue as follows. If you're dealing with a mitzvah which is ikro b'maisa, the act, then that act requires kavana. If, however, the Torah is insistent on not the act necessarily, but rather the consequence, the result, the chalos, that's when one could assume that mitzvos ein srichos kavana. A fascinating Kiddush. I'll give you an example. If you look in the Kli Chemda, in Parshas Kisaytzei, Kli Chemda writes the following Kiddush, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, in the first Yom Minchas Shlomo, writes this in one line, but the Kli Chemda elaborates, he writes the following Kiddush, that mitzvos ben adam lechaveru. Obviously, everything ideally should have the proper mindset, but b'dieved, mitzvos ben adam lechaveru do not require kavana. Let's assume, for example, a person exhibits proper kibra vein, a person is gomel chesed, hachnasas arachim, bikur cholim, levayas hameis, and a person did not have the proper kavana. A person opens up the door and doesn't have the kavana that ayyidei zam, fulfilling the mitzvah of kibra vein. So what would you argue? Nothing. it's not considered to be an act of cheshen. It's not considered to be gnilas chasadin, nichum aveilim, bikur cholim. The Klechemda writes, when it comes to mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, then everyone agrees that b'diavid, mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana. Ideally, look, we believe in positive law. So even mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, a person should also realize that he is doing so, not because intuitively it makes sense. A person is doing so because Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that one is obligated to do so. That certainly is the case. But b'diavid, when is Yotzi? Why should that be true? I would suggest the following. When it comes to mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, certainly ikra b'totza. All mitzvos on l'chavero. Whatever it is, the mitzvah tzedakah, or a mitzvah bikur cholim, nichum aveilim, the consequence, the result, is critical. It's not the act. If you're dealing with a ritual, then one could argue that the act is considered to be primary. If you're dealing with mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, in such a case, there the totzah is considered to be that which is ikar, and therefore, mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana. The cases of tvila or shchita, then I would argue those are mitzvos she'ikro dechalos. If there's a mitzvah shchita, the fact that as a result of the shchita, the animal now can be eaten. Now there's no longer a chalos iser, it's not an aveva, it's shachut, there's a heterach, that's incidental, or that's the very essence of the shchita. Tosu says in Shavuos Chaf Dalet, there is no mitzvah of shchita. Shchita is an iser, as they have, in a zavoach. One is not allowed to eat meat that was not subject to shchita. It's not a mitzvah in the classic sense. Something that comes to shchita, it is ikro b'chalos. And that's why the Gemara in Chulin says, according to Rabbi, Shchita does not require kavana. Any mitzvah which is ikra b'chalos, so therefore kavana is not necessary. The same is true of the other example of the Gemara when it comes to tvila. The fact that one is tovil, and lo and behold, as a result of the tvila, they become tahor. That's kind of incidental. That result is the essence of tvila. It's lahakshir, l'tahir, lahatir. In that case, that again is ikru b'chalos. If a person would be tovil and would not have the necessary kavanas, he'd argue the person is still tamei, that the tefillah is absolutely nothing because mitzvos, tzrichos kavana. Whenever there is a mitzvah which is ikru b'chalos, that is the case. And that, apparently, is the answer to that sira of Rabbi Yossi. The Moram raises the issue that Rabbi Yossi writes that bris milah does not require kavana. And yet Rabbi Yossi maintains in Kuf Yudala that matzah requires kavana, mara requires kavana. Isn't that a stira? Well, Rabbi Ram writes, there must be some pasuk that indicates that this is true. I would argue that bris milah is not just maisa hamila. Bris milah is ikro b'chalos, a chalos milah. The fact that the child is now mohu, the fact that there's an os bris kodesh, the fact that the child is no longer an orel, so you'd argue, that's again incidental. Isn't that the essence of bris milah? Ikro b'chalos, and therefore the totzah, the polyotze, the result, that the child is chosum bos fis kodesh, that is considered to be critical. And for that, b'diavad mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, even though Rabbi Yossi maintains, matzah or mar, yes, but not when it comes to a case of bris milah. That is exactly the chiddush, in fact, of Rabbi Yossi shita. In fact, the Gemara discusses whether a guy can do bris milah, that's again about a zar chav zayin. And the Gemara says no, based on a pasuk. Can a woman serve as a moel? Right? That's today's in the Gemara. We assume not b'halach, but today's in Tosos. Whether in fact an isha can serve, right, to do a bris milah. Isn't the question obvious that kol mishinah mechuyah b'davar in a moti yisra b'nei chavasa, how is that possible? The answer is that you don't need a bar chiyuva necessarily if you're dealing with a mitzvah which is ikro, the chalos. What about when it comes to rest? The Gemara raises that issue. What about sifar? The Gemara says that how you hold will depend on how you understand in that pasuk. Either sifar did the bris milah or it means sifar saw to it that the bris milah occurred, but she didn't actually do the maisa hamil itself. That's the Gemara's kashin, the Gemara's teretz, and the Avodah Zarah, and the Chav Zayin. It also cites, for example, the following chiddush. Let's say a katan performs bris milah. Katan does a milah. The Ksos writes, you know what the problem is? The problem is, theme for another shir, maybe Parshas Lech Lecha, and that is, does bris milah require shlichus? A katan is not a bar hachi of shlichus. So if a mo is the shliach of the father, so in such a case, if a katan was front of the smila, we have a problem in terms of whether the father discharged his obligation. But let's say there is no father. A katan can perform bris mila. Or let's say the katan did a bris mila. The mila certainly is a mila kshera. So there is no shlichus. But the mila certainly is a mila kshera. A katan is not a bar hachi. He's not mukhuya badavar. You don't need, right, a mukhuya badavar in order to perform mitzvos necessarily, those that are ikro b'chalos. So that's a critical difference when it comes to cases of mitzvos shrichos or mitzvos ain't shrichos kavana. So just again to sum up, the breakdown of two categories of mitzvos, mitzvos that are tlios b'maisa as opposed to mitzvos which are ikro b'chalos. So therefore, differences in terms of kazayis when it comes to achilas kashim as opposed to Pesach may be difference in terms of that which is derech achilas as opposed to eino derech achilas. No one can question is mention that difference. The difference in terms of mitzvos shrichos or ain't shrichos kavana, and then the difference perhaps in whether you require a bar chayuva or whether you do not. This breakdown between two different categories of mitzvahs, this should have many other ramifications, lahalacha, as well. Are there any other differences in these two categories of mitzvahs between mitzvahs where the ikar is maisa mitzvah as opposed to mitzvahs that ikar b'chalos? It's very reasonable that there should be that distinction. That there's a world of difference between a mitzvah b'ram l'chavera, where the totzah is the ikar, as opposed to a mitzvah of tefillin, for example, where the maisa levisha, the maisa nach, is considered that which is critical. This is what we'll have to discuss and tie it in further with mitzvah shrichos kavana. The breakdown of these two mitzvahs, and all the nafkaminas b'halacha between maisa mitzvah as opposed to mitzvahs that are ikro b'chalos. I was told again I have to stop.
What is the story with the Nene?